Just a traffic update, seemingly some traffic disruption in the CBD. Getting a message as well as a picture. Big accident on the corner of Helen Suzman and Bethencourt Street. A taxi overturned in that area. We'll try to get some confirmation from police and metro officials on the ground there whether that road is closed or not. But 12 minutes to 10 o'clock, you're listening to the Morning Review. A lot happening in education and public transport over the last 2 days. Schools opening to 100% capacity around the country at the same time here in the Western Cape and Cape Town. That peace deal between Carter and Kadeta being signed yesterday with the Minister of Transport and the MEC of Transport. What had been a concern for many parents, particularly between the Bellville and Paarl areas, is that school transport was not allowed to travel through those areas, meaning hundreds of children weren't able to get to school. There's also, of course, the concerns of many parents of whether schooling is in fact safe. 100% capacity is in fact safe for our young people at this moment. Vanessa LaRue is the founder and coordinator for Parents for Equal Education, joining me now on the line from Blue Downs. Vanessa, thanks so much for coming on to the show. Firstly, you're unhappy with this announcement by the Department of Basic Education that schools are now back to 100% capacity.
Hi, good morning, Lester, and good morning to your listeners. Me and over 110,000 parents have been unhappy for quite a while. So I don't know whether it's something new, our unhappiness, but it stretched far more than our unhappiness, because this is a life and death situation at this point. And this is what we as parents are advocating for and say, listen, the priority is the safety and the lives of our children and not education, because their child can't learn. And this is the issues that the department is not listening to. And if you've seen lately, it's almost like they have this drastic decisions that they take, that you can't understand whether these people are thinking in terms of a pandemic, or are they thinking in terms of traditional education as it was before the pandemic?
We do know that over the last 18 months, and particularly this was quite evident in 2020, that a lot of teaching time was lost. Those who could afford, those schools that had the capacity to continue with some form of online learning, those who could send materials back home to schools and back home to with children, or whether children simply had a quiet place to do some reading or do some schoolwork by themselves, that all depended on whether your school and your school community had access to it. Many schools don't have access to that, and the best way for children to learn, despite the very troubled times we experience at the moment, Vanessa, would be in a school facility.
No, I disagree with you, Lester, because at the end of the day, the Constitution also say, the Constitution of our country always say, education must take place in a safe environment, and our schools are not safe. And I don't understand how at this point, when we peak, we think in terms of education and not saving lives. And I would urge parents at this point to go and look at the desktop of the statistics in just in this province of how many children under the age of 20, between 6 and 20, have been infected. Just yesterday morning, I've learned of a grade 5 learner that passed away of COVID. So I'm saying, as a parent, I'm asking, what is the priority? Is this a gamble worth taking for my child? Because at the end of the day, I can still, even if it takes 2 years, my child can still go back to education, but he can't come back to life if he's dead. That's the thing. And we must really keep asking ourselves, what is priority in this situation? Is it the life or education? Because the Department of Basic Education have a whole twisted idea of what it is. Because a year ago, they knew this pandemic are going to be with us for a while. They are thinking in terms of traditional timetables, in traditional teaching, in class teaching. And if you tell me then you must really go and speak to teachers to see what the situation in schools is. I've been to a school in Kraaifontein about 2 months ago, Lester. Innocently, the teacher approached a friend of mine to ask whether I can come and speak to a grade 12 class. There's no protocol in schools. That's why parents are not allowed on school premises. Children share one desk. There's no social distancing. That is the breeding ground for this growth, for this virus. So, and if you ask me, we are speaking in terms of the psychological effects on these children. Do we know that children in itself at this point are traumatized? They are fearful. So what kind of education does a teacher that is fearful, anxious, provide to a child that's equally fearful and anxious?
What is then the solution to prevent another scholastic year from being essentially being lost? We are broad sentiments from unions to academics to the Department of Basic Education that a lot of learning has been lost in 2020. How do we say, from a parental point of view, how are you ensuring that your child, you know, teaching has been impacted. That doesn't necessarily mean that learning has been impacted. Children can learn by themselves with sufficient materials. But what is then the solution to find that balance for teaching and learning to take place and still keep learners safe?
And that is what we have been from day one, Lester. We have said to the Department of Basic Education, let's find alternative ways. If you look at the amount of money that have been spent now, why couldn't they get to the point where they made agreements with Vodacom, with MTN and all of those stuff? Buy smartphones for children. You could have saved on PPEs. You could have saved on decontamination of schools. All in our areas, each school have Wi-Fi. Why couldn't we look at all of those alternative ways, knowing that the pandemic is going to be with us for a while? We have SABC, we have radio stations. Why couldn't we utilize those type of things and make it possible that teaching go on? But we will be able to save as many lives as possible. But they couldn't think out of the box, because to them, it's okay that the inequalities go on. If you listen to what the WCD is saying yesterday, out of 1,010 schools, 849 are not ready. But they are happy for the wealthy majority to go on and leave the wealthy minority to go on and leave the majority
behind. Vanessa, 48,000 teachers in the Western Cape have already been vaccinated. The level of transmission based on that alone means that it is essentially a little bit safer. Of course, when we still need some of those safety protocols. And I have no illusion that in many of our schools, 45 to 50 children per class is the norm. And that is the reality for many, many underfunded schools in underfunded communities. But then if you look at the balance of what we need to do, keep learning, which is part of a system which at the end of the day also contributes to our economy, keeping those grades ticking along so that people eventually reach matric, they go on to further education, keeping that ticking along while at the same time keeping people safe. I think those are the measures that we need. And if it comes to what happens at school when it comes to keeping social distance, then shouldn't principals and school management be held responsible if there is no proper social distancing in schools, kids not maintaining social distances? Shouldn't interventions have already been in place?
Do you know this? This is actually a two-way approach, because at the end of the day, our schools in poorer communities, these under-resourced schools, Christa, they have a minimum of 1,800 learners. Then you have a teacher component between 40 and 50. How do 40, 50 people supervise 1,800 children? Mm. That is my first question. Secondly, how many support did these... They keep on saying that the department is providing psychological support to who? Because that's not happening. It's not the truth. Mm. And at the end of the day, because just if you take in the Western Cape where I'm staying, and this is happening in other provinces too, because my group consists of parents from across the country. Mm. You have a social worker and a psychologist that serve two districts. One social worker, one psychologist that serve two districts. So when do they think is this psychological support happening? It's not. And in this case, just this week, Lester, you wouldn't believe how many complaints I have of teachers that's off with that they are either positive, they are either in isolation. In the one school in Delft, on the second day, there were 7 teachers off. I heard yesterday of a school in Nice, now there's 14 teachers off.
Vanessa, unfortunately, we're running out of time. I just have one more question. Are you sending your children to school? Or are you
no,
essentially,
my child haven't been back to school.
Essentially boycotting.
Last year.
And what learning has your child been able to do?
I'm fetching his workbooks. He only goes in when he writes exams and tests or do practicals. I wait there for him and he comes home. Mm-hmm. He writes in a separate location. I'm not willing to take that gamble with my child.
Vanessa LaRue, founder of Parents for Equal Education. I'd like your thoughts here. 021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp. 072-567-1567.